All right. Do your headphones sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it.
I get paid to take my clothes off, but here I bear it all for free. Welcome to the totally wholesome, not dirty podcast where sex work meets self work and we laugh through the chaos one.
This is dope.
I don't think I've been here since you've had a theme song.
I've got a theme song.
That's lit.
Killer.
I wish I could say I sang it like you are a singer, but that is AI.
That's AI?
AI?
Yeah.
They caught that early Paramore thing really well.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it's dope.
It was so I had my friend Daniel and Josh on, and they do a lot of like stuff with AI. So they're like, what if we made you a theme song? I was like, perfect.
Did you write it or just kind of give a general idea and then they
I had like my initial like what I would say. So I had like just my voice like saying welcome to the Totally Wholesome, you know, podcast, and you know, they just made it from there. So welcome back to the show once again. And you guys are gonna be so freaking happy. I know that you've been so tired of these solo episodes that go absolutely nowhere and completely unhinged. And this week I have guests. I'm very excited to once again bring back the amazing Sophia Locke. Hi. And Jonathan, who I don't know, but I would like to.
Hey, man, this is the place for it.
Perfect. All right, so we have so many exciting things to talk about, but first, I definitely want to, before we get derailed, as I feel like we always do, we want to talk about your singing because you have a huge project that you can finally talk about.
I can. I am doing my very first album ever. I found this lovely gentleman, Jonathan Windham, on Instagram like years ago at this point, maybe.
Yeah, I saw you singing a Beatles song in what you hate that video.
It was not a very impressive video, but he saw it on his For You page. Had no idea what I did.
Yeah, and I was at the time I was touring with a pop artist named Colby Calais, and I had been showing her how to play one of the songs. She's like, "Yeah, I'm not going to practice that." And then I immediately went on Instagram and I saw you playing a much harder guitar part, and I was like, "Yeah, yeah, like that's sick." And so I followed you and was like, "You sound great. Like this is so cool." Because I was so excited, like, to see someone singing and practicing guitar, and it was just like, it inspired me.
So I benefited from her not wanting to play.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Pop artist to pop shot artist.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is better because you're willing to do more. You know what I mean?
I'm trained in one for sure.
You're trained in both.
I do. I am trained in both. That's true. It was really nice though, too. Speaking of that, is that once he realized what I did for a living, never got creepy, always pro. And it was really nice, and just kept it about music. And also, I mean, I can let him speak to this, but you like thought about what that would mean working with me eventually.
Yeah.
I think you have to.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, from a business perspective.
Yeah. And I work a lot in Nashville as well. I live there. I work in LA a fair amount with the pop and the rock stuff, but in Nashville, it's a little bit more closed-minded. Like Tennessee doesn't have and stuff like that. So
well, even they're not allowed to do like, because there was like the Thunder from Down Under show here opened up something in Nashville, like a standalone show there, but they weren't allowed to do like thongs, which is kind of weird for a strip show. You
know what I mean? That's like a letdown too. Like those dudes train their glutes.
I know.
Those are glorious glutes.
Girls go to see the glutes. Like, yeah, I don't know. Guys go to see the glutes. Like everybody just wants to see, you know, the nice sculpted butt. But
yeah, what's supposed to like motivate you to do hip thrusts without seeing an ass?
I don't know. That's what I think of every time I do the hip thrust. I'm just like,
is glute workout. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's funny because I've like ages ago before, like I think you had been on the podcast like once or twice, but it was when you were starting to come back and I would see you start to do a little bit of singing like on TikTok and stuff. It would just like come up on my page. I was like, oh, this is so cool, because I had no idea at the time that you sang. So to see you now like coming full circle from just like me watching you, I know that it's a much bigger arc than that, but just like seeing you do this now is very, very cool.
Well, I appreciate that. It's something I've done since I was a little girl, but showing it on those platforms where you would have come up and seen it, or you would have seen it, is relatively new for me in the last few years. And it was terrifying because, you know, you never know how fans of what I do are going to react to this piece of my heart that I've done since I was a little girl, that it was my dream to be a singer. It was what my family thought I would do. So I very kind of hesitatingly showed it and showed more and more and got a lot of positive feedback. So by the time I connected with Jonathan, I felt pretty confident in it, but I didn't have a blueprint of the direction it would go, right?
You're like, here's this thing I love to do.
And I can,
how do you scale it up?
Yeah, yeah. How do you scale it from, you know, I was singing at like a casino in Vegas every so often, and I was, you know, singing at home with like a nice mic system. But other than that, I didn't know what to do with it. So I think, you know, he was the missing piece of like, here's how you put it on a professional level. Here's how you get it on Spotify. Here's how you do all of that kind of stuff. And even songwriting. I'd never written any songs before.
Yeah.
Now you have.
That's very exciting.
I have helped.
Cool. Well, I mean, so you just like, you're capturing emotion in the medium of a song.
Yeah, of course.
And like you have...
I'm a writer. I'm not a singer.
Yes, you get it. So like, it's a puzzle. You have 3 to 4 minutes and you have to get this emotion from you to the listener. Like it's super fun.
Yeah. It's like poetry in a way, but it doesn't have to rhyme. And it's all about like just evoking that feeling, which is like writing is so different for everyone too, because like, it's so cool. Cause art is just so all encompassing. Cause there's so many different things that you could do. Cause even what we do is like making art in a way that people consume and sure they jerk off to it or whatever, but it's still a medium of art. And some people, like there are some fans who are super hardcore in the fact that it is really just art. Like they just want to collect like as much stuff as you've done. You're like, you can't possibly be jerking off to all of this.
There's
like,
no way. People make trading cards of us. People, you know, have like scrapbooks of us in it.
You're underestimating the male mind.
Do you love the pod? Of course you do. Do you love ads? Not so much. Do you want to prove how much you love the pod? Then join us ad-free on patreon.com/twndpodcast. Every tier of support gets you day early releases and ad-free enjoyment. The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is made possible by listeners like you. If you want the full VIP experience, join any of our dirtbag tiers, which also gives you access to skits, photo sets, bonus episodes, and monthly Zoom chats where we sit down, reflect, share, and more. You'll also have access to Thought Takes, a mini show where I strip down and go in hard with rantisodes. What are you waiting for? Join us and be a dirtbag at patreon.com/twndpodcast. That's not an altar, dude. Some dude sent me a photo of an altar.
An altar?
I don't know if this is okay, but all right. He had my panties in a shadow box. I was like, this is a bit much.
That's beautiful.
Was it backlit and everything?
Yeah.
And like,
it was wild. Like, and I say crazy like the best possible way, but there was like candles. He had like little like.
But how were they mounted? Like,
yeah, it was like, so it was a full shadow box, and then he had these little lights that were like positioned like at the altar, because there was all these little shelves of all these like things he'd collected throughout my career, and I was like, this was really impressive. But do you have people over ever? And they were like, who is this? Why is she on your wall?
There's so many.
You're
panties.
His muse.
Yeah, I mean, hey, whatever. Yeah.
I like to look at it like what we do, we're trying to elicit like an emotion and a feeling in other people. Mm-hmm. And I think singing and music is a similar thing. I mean, I'm not necessarily trying to encourage something sexual with the singing, but it is nice to be able to affect someone on the other side of a camera or in an audience with something that you're creating with your body.
Yeah, of course. Like, and I think just like, there's a lot of people in the industry who are that very like creative mindset, and they do a lot of other things. Like I know people who do painting or drawing or all this stuff. And it's cool to have that fan base who supports like the all encompassing aspects of you. Cause not everybody is going to like listen to the podcast or listen to your music or whatever, but there's always a little bit of something for everyone, which is really, really cool, because I feel like creative people, we just have all this inside of us that we need to get out, because we have a lot to say, but sometimes you don't know how to say it. So you sing it. Or you write it, or you paint it, or you draw it, or you make a porno about it. I don't know.
Exactly. And doing all these things and people embracing those sides of us, I feel like really humanizes us to them. And them enjoying it and supporting me, especially in this, has really humanized my fan base for me too.
Yeah.
Right? It's like I don't just see them as an anonymous figure jerking off in the dark.
Yeah.
It's more of like people will say, oh, I love this song that you did, or oh, can you cover this one? And so it's been really fun to have that experience and to bring someone non-industry like into that and kind of see how we can manipulate this to make it successful. Because I don't know many people who have tried to cross over from our side over to the like professional music side.
Yeah, nothing that I can really think of. I mean, you have
Jenna Jameson has a song out.
That's true.
Does she?
Yeah.
Way back.
Am I crazy? Did she get into like religion? I started having people ask me about that, and I'm like, I don't know Jenna Jameson.
I don't either. I don't.
It just came out of nowhere.
I'll Google the to this on a break. So
yeah, you will.
So that's why I need like a booth boy. David, I need you here. Yeah. My editor
the
is
fact
like,
check.
Yeah, we need like a fact check.
See, that's the great thing about a podcast that not that many people listen to is you don't really have to you just say anything with enough confidence. They're like, that's probably true.
Like and a these dad people before have, Google.
Yeah. These people have alters of you. They're not going to check.
They're not going to care. They're like, whatever she says, I believe.
You know what? It's correct. Absolutely.
There's a fine art photo of you guys at Sophia's house.
And in my bedroom.
Of course.
And it's just like, it is art.
Yeah.
You know,
like it is, especially what April shoots. Like April has her own like eye that she sees things that other people just don't see. And in other people's like different body types and the way that they fit with nature and how it is all just natural. And like, it's so cool because just like, even with like writing the book and stuff like that, it's like you take all these things that you learn. And I don't know, I'm sure this isn't everyone in the industry, but I know it's a bit you because we've had a little bit of a talk about it before where you're kind of like nervous to, like you even said, posting just, I normally do nudes or like sultry stuff. And now I'm posting something from my heart and I'm posting something that I'm actually passionate about and that I really
it's
care about.
It's a part
about.
Of my identity, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, but yet we're so much more comfortable just being nude in front of a camera.
Like,
bare everything except for what's actually inside. Bare the outside.
Oh,
protect
yeah.
the inside.
Which is so funny because being naked on camera is my worst fear.
He's like, I'll tell you all of my back history, everything.
I was sitting on the spot anytime. Like, let me be naked alone.
But but coming on command, absolutely not. That
yeah. sounds like work,
dude. That's one thing with male performers. We're talking. How do you come on command? Like, because
you have
with,
to really
woman,
know your body.
You can fake it. It's so easy. People are like, oh, I'm sorry. We fake it. You kidding? Like, are you kidding me? It's a 3-minute custom. Strip down. Give me JOI and come. How?
Yeah, that is
what do you
that
mean?
Is amazing. Yeah,
JOI like a ten minute. Countdown from 10, countdown for a JOI takes like 3 minutes.
Yeah, of course.
What am I counting down from? Like, am I counting
really.
While I'm stripping? And like, it's so crazy. But that is like the, also like the performance side of it, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're like, but as a guy, you can't really perform that you came because like there's no
You
evidence.
Can, actually.
Okay, tell me.
There is a thing that I don't know if I should be telling everybody about, but where you can inject like Cetaphil into like the head of your penis. And then into like the urethra.
So like a fake squirt. Like
it's
when,
like a fake.
Like when you use a turkey baster to get
right,
girls
with the,
fake
the water into the vagina for that. You know, this is like, and then if you put it the right spot and you can like kind of squeeze and like push it out, it looks like cum. It's not super prevalent, but it is a thing.
So, okay.
And then there's also the syringe under, right? You were telling me
there's
about
also,
that.
Yeah, there's also a tube.
With the angles. I've learned all the tricks.
I like so much.
I like to picture someone just like between someone's legs, like with a little like
it
turkey baster, like.
Behind a ladder with the camera in POV with a tube underneath and six of us looking up and ready. I have done this. Yes.
So funny.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh God. I love it so much. Okay. So you said that you have like a Kickstarter thing like going for this. So let's talk about that a little bit because it will be linked in the description so y'all can support.
Thank you for that. So I have had, especially on TikTok for years of singing and doing all these things, I've had people ask if they can help be a part of funding an album. So what I did was I worked with Jonathan to do some covers, some acoustic covers to put on Spotify and get people kind of excited about it. And then helped write an EP. And so they all have that now on Spotify and Apple Music and all the places. But I just wanted to show kind of proof of concept that I was really serious about it. That
and
this
actually
was
doing something.
An investment, like a very expensive investment in doing music videos a lot with a lot of actually actors, which has been really, really
who have
cool.
Killed.
Cool. Incredible
Good
jobs.
God.
Yeah. Incredible,
Casey?
Incredible jobs. Yeah. Casey Calvert. Oh my God.
Dude.
Like,
yeah.
Well, that's the cool thing too about like, a lot of performers getting into things like content creation or directing or all that, because when you spend so much time on set, you learn things about like the lighting and how things look and like the different concepts. And once again, it's own art form. So it's
absolutely.
Like, it's so cool to just see like creative people come together and do something wild.
It's been really, it's been a really fun journey for me to have the people who I really respect in my industry be excited about helping me with the music stuff too.
Yeah.
Like it's been really lovely, and to showcase to the general public just how talented these people are. I mean, they're really incredible. So we've done music videos and then the EP, and I think 3 covers now on like streaming platforms.
Yeah, three out
three out and then
the
And then because I'm working toward an album, which I mean, I would do either way, but I know that people really wanted to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. We found these really cool, I think, ways for people to benefit from donating, and they can have us come to their city and perform an acoustic duo like concert.
That's
like
cool.
That's one of the things. That's and then we'll also cool. have a pre-sale
private concert
vinyl.
That they could turn around and sell tickets to if they wanted to, you know. Yeah. Like they could make their money back should they desire it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So we just wanted a way to like have people feel included because they've been asking me to yeah. do that for a while.
And
so
I think it's fair to mention, like, you were very reticent ask for money.
I don't like
that's not
for money.
Your nature.
Dude, I don't even like asking for money, and it's like our job
yeah,
to
no,
ask
I can't.
For money.
I'm like, I'm just gonna do this. If you want to see it, that's cool. Like, yeah. I would be a terrible stripper. I'd be like, you probably aren't interested. I'm so sorry. Like, I don't yeah, you don't even have to look if you don't
do
want
me to get you a drink for free. It's on me. I'll pay for it.
But you've already paid so much. Have more tips. Have more. I'm so sorry.
Just in your face like, I'm so sorry.
I can give you your money back if you're not happy.
Crying in the strip club. Good. Just
please compliment me.
I'm terrible at all of that, like asking for money or hustling or sales and all yeah. of that. But I did want to give this opportunity because I had been asked so much, and who am I to turn it down if people wanted to be a part of it? So, so there is a Kickstarter for it.
Have you thought about doing anything that's like a physical, tangible thing that they can get? Because you could get like those custom like EP like album, like where it's just
like shadow box, like your panties?
Yeah, just like my shadow box panties. Just shadow box with the panties. But I'm trying to think, like a record. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Yes.
Like with the
vinyl?
Yes.
Yeah,
we're going to do vinyl as well.
Yeah,
we're going to do that either way.
I know what the word
is. Yeah.
Anyone that donates to the Kickstarter gets access to like the pre-sale first.
Oh, very cool.
For the vinyl,
and then there's one tier where they'll get their name on it.
An album credit.
As a thank you.
Oh, cool.
And on the physical
and
media.
And all that.
Which
yeah.
is kind of
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, so like if they want her to know their name forever.
That's very cool.
Kind of thing.
That's awesome.
We can do that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like cool. if you want to help her dream that she's had since a child, like
yeah.
there's some cool ways to do that.
It's like you guys have jerked off to her for years. Just support the dream.
But
God.
Also, she's going to do it either way. Like,
Yeah.
So which I think is so admirable. And
yeah.
it's a beautiful thing to watch. I don't hope you don't mind me gushing about you. It's a beautiful
no,
thing to watch
no,
someone really believe in themselves
yeah.
on something that scares them because it matters to them.
Yes.
And
that's the whole thing about art.
Which
art
I imagine is
scary.
Like, I want to hear more about your writing, but I imagine it's like that where you're like, oh my God, I hope people like this because this is me.
Oh, you mean the way that I'm stonewalling finishing book two right now so I don't have to reach out to agents like I said that I was going to, because then we'll actually have to be out there in the world and people will have to tell me what they think about it, good or bad. So
yep, that,
I'm just stalling?
That feeling, yeah, yeah. You just gotta push through.
We could talk about that later.
Now it's podcast therapy. Let's go.
I am great at getting people past the stone wall. It's half my job.
I've worked on it a lot. Like I've kind of like I had this moment where I had that realization where I'm like, I'm actually stonewalling myself right now.
I'm procrastinating.
Like, I know
out of fear.
That I'm writing mm-hmm. what I shouldn't be writing, so that I can delete it and go back and rewrite it. Because I already know what I'm trying to do.
Really?
So why am I letting my brain take me through all these side paths where it's like, this is not what this person would say. You know, this isn't what's going to happen. And so I stopped myself from doing it. But it's definitely one of those things, like even with video games for me, which is not like the same thing at all. But I don't like finishing something.
Oh, interesting.
It's kind of the same thing, maybe.
Because if it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, the book thing, I just have to keep writing forever, I think, because then it never has to be over.
Sure. I get that. Or I won't prepare up until kind of the last second for something.
Yeah, because so you then can rush.
Well, because then if it wasn't perfect, well, then I could have done more for it. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten better
next
at that
time,
over the
next
years.
Time I'll do it. I'll do it even better next time. Yeah. The procrastination is real. But I don't know if you're this way, but I kind of like thrive under the pressure. Or at least that's what I tell myself. It's at the very least what I'm telling myself to like get through it. But like sometimes I'm just one of those people where it's like, I mean, look at my sticky notes.
They're I admired lot. Those on the way in. I'm going to level.
That's a lot. Some like, of them have fallen off. It's just disarray. So my brain goes, what if I just spent 4 hours organizing the sticky notes instead of writing?
Doing the things on the sticky notes?
Exactly.
Got it. I understand. It does look very organized. I've always been impressed with how much you can put out and how creative you are. So it's just interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for the writing stuff. I hope you get over the hump.
I'm so excited. I'm over like the hump of it all, but like, this isn't about that. I I know you're tired of hearing about it. I know it's been solo episodes of me being like, here's the book that I can't talk about. So let's talk about music. Because the only musical experience that I have is I played the clarinet. No, I didn't go to band camp. It wasn't a thing. I didn't clarinet. But I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. So really? Like how, what got you into singing in the first place? And what, maybe this is a two-part question, but like what made you decide to actually start putting it on social media after so much time in the industry and in the public eye that you were finally like, well, maybe I'll just sing a little la-di-da. Like.
So I've been doing it for as long as I can remember and then was in choir as soon as I was able to be, which was third grade. So I was in glee in third grade. And then it just became the thing that I was known for in my family, right? Like mm-hmm. she's the singer, basically. Yeah. And so I did it all through like middle and high school and did it for college and stuff like that. And then when I was in the industry, I got in at 25. So I kind of took a break from singing, honestly, because I was really excited about the industry and realized I could make good money and it was really fulfilling and I enjoyed it. So I would like play guitar and sing to myself, but that was pretty much it for like a good stretch of time, maybe 5 years or so. Yeah. I had also moved to Vegas, gone on one audition, bombed it, and decided that maybe I just wasn't a singer anymore. So that was a big stretch of like 5 years where I didn't really believe in myself and I loved what I was doing. So it was okay.
Yeah.
But then I left the industry for a relationship. And during that time of living in the Pacific Northwest, I like joined an a cappella group and we did, you know, anthems at stadiums. And then I also joined a Fleetwood Mac cover band. And then I was a, you know, so fronted cool. a jazz band with 13 piece horns. Like, and so I got back into it again and kind of got my confidence in being on stage back because that was something where I just needed to, I said yes to everything.
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely, I will do, you know, what are the Sailor Sisters?
your little acapella.
Yeah, the acapella stuff. Where we were like sailor dresses and sang in nursing homes. Like, I'll just do that. And
was it like finding like a piece of yourself that you had forgotten about? Like that piece of, that you kind of like tucked away?
I had never forgotten about it. It was always a piece of me. I always was a singer in my mind, but I never felt like I had reached my full potential.
Yeah. I asked just because, so similarly, like writing was when I was a kid, writing everything. I entered like writing competitions. I wanted to do poetry. I wrote short stories about dogs who fell in love. Like it was a whole thing. So, but then like when I got into my last relationship, as you know, we don't need to rehash this again. He was a terrible person. La-di-da, I'm before. It's been a long time. Let's get over it. So the whole thing with that is like, all I could focus on was work. Cause all he wanted me to do was cam work, make the money so I can spend the money. This is your purpose. You make the money. But I would
sounds
have
healthy. Yeah.
It was so great.
So great.
And I had so much money at the end of it. I didn't. He took so much of it, but
I wish we had sound effects.
We do. But I did incorporate it into little things like, I might want to make a cosplay video. So I'll make a little script for myself. It's me, myself, and I. Like, why do I need a script? But you start to put that through. And then when I got into mainstream, I'm like, ooh, what if I wrote a script for this? And then browsers could pick it up here. We could do this. Or I'll make my own movie because that's a script that I get to write. Yeah. And then it's like, but I never really thought of it as writing. I just thought of it as work. And then when I got back around to the idea of like actually writing a book, I was like, well, I can't write a book. What do you mean? And then I just sat down and started, and it all just came out. And I just felt like I reconnected with that piece of myself from childhood that I was like, this is what I can do. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I just didn't know if it was.
I love that. I think the confidence that I built when being outside of the industry and like getting back on stage and getting that positive feedback was what made it so that when I got back in the industry, I felt like, oh, I feel good enough at this and I'm actually enjoying it that I might be able to show people a little tiny piece of it, maybe. Please be nice. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt
like
that.
Little shards of it here and there.
Yeah.
Like
it was like little just things. And then the feedback that I got was so overwhelmingly, shockingly positive. I expected everyone to just be like, you know, open your legs, shut the you know what I mean? But
now they're like, shut your legs, open your mouth. I
get that a lot. I get the like, why are you doing do that? I'm like, because I love it, but like, thank you for liking
there's
both.
Brad who's like, love.
I have actually been really intentional about separating how sexual I am from the music necessarily. You know what I mean? Like I'm doing it as like kind of a separate entity, like same first name, stage name, but different last name, and having it be like, this is another part of me. It's still all me, but I don't necessarily want people to objectify me and sexualize me in that section of it. Love that they do it for my job. That's great.
I completely understand. Like I have like a pen name. Right. So it's like, because I don't want that to just be something that's attached to my butthole. Like eventually people will figure it out, but I want it to stand on its own first. So it's like,
it's own butthole.
I mean, the internet does what it does. They're all going to figure it out eventually, but it's nice to have that separation to be like, well, here's a thing that I've actually done that has nothing to do with my body, which is like what most people know me for.
Right.
So it's, but I just have to say Jessica Rabbit.
Yes, of course. I have, I mean, I have that in my, in a set list. Absolutely. I have the Why Don't You Do Right, which is the Jessica Rabbit song. And I will do it in full cosplay at some point. I promise. And I'll probably put a sex scene at the end of it with like a Roger Rabbit. Of course. Naturally. Yes. Duh. That. But
I could be Roger Rabbit with a strap on. I'm just saying.
Oh, this is brilliant. Ears.
I'm a level. That's probably going to sell.
I mean.
He's like, speaking as the layperson, civilian.
Odds are good.
Let's consult the magic eight balls. Yeah.
The magic eight ball. Nice. Yeah. So, I mean, coming back in, it was really good. What were your, did you have any reservations?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm just like.
No, that's okay. No,
I'll jump in. I'm an extrovert, please. Dude. But I also like, you guys have beautiful thoughts and my reservations. I want to make a book recommendation for you. By the way, there's Stephen Pressfield wrote a book called The War of Art.
Okay.
And it talks about fighting resistance as the opponent of finishing art. And anyway, you're going to love it.
I love it.
No, it's
I'm always looking for new reads because I don't want to read stuff that's in the genre that I'm writing.
Right.
Because I never want to be influenced by what other people are writing about what I'm writing.
For sure.
So I like to, I've been reading like these like crime thrillers and stuff like that.
Oh, I love that. That's fine.
I love that.
I've already like torn through everything with Stephen King ever. So
he's
definitely.
Great. That was me too.
That's just a book on writing. But it's, I find it.
Well, I think it's good to just have the perspective.
It's super centering. Like, and he's like. He's so prolific. He's done so much. And for that dude to be like, this is how I do it. I clock in. I get 4 hours good a day. And then I check out.
Yeah. I've gotten to that point because like some days sorry, I don't mean to sidebar.
No,
we'll go back.
I just get into these like flow states where it's like, I'll just lose all track of time. And it's like between like, I'm editing here, I'm sexting here, I'm doing this here. And then I'm also writing in the background. And so sometimes it feels like you're not doing that much. And then I look back on it and it's like 8 pages. But then the next day I get half a page and I'm like, what the f*** wrong with you?
Yeah.
like where did it go? It's like, well, it's not gone, but you got so much out the other day that anything that you put down is good. They're like trying to tell myself that even like a little note on an idea for the thing is still writing.
There's also Hemingway's trick of like, stop writing when you know the next thing.
I love Hemingway.
Yeah. But okay, so my reservations on like the obstacles I'm working with you. She said me.
Me. I'm like, now answer. I'm like, answer the questions I want to know.
Like, I've been waiting for this.
Publicly.
No, I find it I love the pressure.
Yeah.
Right? So like, when someone comes, like anytime a girl is just strikingly beautiful and then has, so like we're not even talking about the adult film. Anytime a girl is strikingly beautiful and comes out with a song, half the people that listen to it want her to suck because they want to write it off.
Yeah.
Okay, now magnify that times 10 because of your day job.
Right.
Right? It has to slam for them to be like, oh, this is good.
We all have bad habits, and breaking them is hard. That's where Fume comes in. You've probably heard about Fume, but you might not know what it is. Fume is a flavored air device. No smoke, no batteries, just a beautiful reminder to breathe easy. So if you have a bad habit that you're trying to turn into a good one, head on over to tryfume.com/TWND to get a discount on your Journey Starter Pack. That's actually what Fume sent over to me to give a little taste test. And currently I am, well, not puffing on because there's no smoke, but I am breathing Peach Blush, which is actually, see, no smoke, a delicious flavor that I am very excited to be sipping on, as it were. I'm definitely trying to break a few bad habits of my own this year, and I think that Fume is a great place to start with that. I am an oral fixation girly. I always have to have something in my mouth. I was chewing on my fingernails for ages, and other bad habits that we don't want to talk about. So if you want to join me on my journey to quit a bad habit and also help support the show that you love so very much, head on over to tryfume.com/TWND and let me know your experience, because I am excited to turn my bad habit into a good one with Fume. Tryfume.com/TWND. Get Soul. Go to getsoul.com and use code TWND to save 30% on your order. Yeah. Like, I don't want to like this.
Yeah, I don't want to like this.
But,
I do.
But I'm forced to because it's actually
now
good.
It's on my playlist.
Yeah.
I love that pressure. Mm-hmm. So a couple tricky conversations of people being like, well, how do you do this? And it's like, well, you just don't think with your dick and you write a song. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's great. Like, just a man can be ruled by like anger, ego, or lust. Like, yeah, just calm your mm-hmm. and write the song,
and use that to put it into a song. Sure. Like, that's because that's
sure,
art
also. Yeah. Yeah,
lust, pain, anger, yeah, like, yeah, all that kind of, yeah, stuff. Yeah, yeah, it, yeah, all comes out in art. So,
but yeah, so I, the challenge of it and the pressure of it is so attractive to me. In like the, oh, this has to slay. It's like mm-hmm. being an opener for the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Like, they have the best songs in the world. Like, yeah, where the f*** are you going to go? Yeah. And it's like, you have to bring the heat. So yeah, that, yeah, there are tricky conversations. But, I mean, you've spent time with Sophia. She's adorable as a human.
Oh, my God. Like, I know.
Thanks, guys.
We always have the best time. We're just like cackling the whole time.
Yeah, she's so fun. She's so fun. So sweet. She's so smart.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I want to help humanize you. Like, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, there's some tricky conversations of like, I remember bringing people in to write for that thing
for the EP,
first EP,
yeah, yeah,
and I had one woman like, oh, I can't write for this. Like, I couldn't have my name on that, and I was like, okay,
pussy.
and that was her prerogative, right?
No, I understand.
I think for her, she was just like, what if my husband watches it? And like, you know, like, she went down this rabbit hole of mm-hmm. like,
that's usually where people go, is like the spiral of like, well, maybe I would even like you, but what if he likes you and I like him, and then he's gonna like you more?
There's an insecurity thing.
And it is like, and it's like kind of also, I think, when it comes to women especially, and it could be totally off base about this because I'm just a whore, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, just say things and hope it makes sense. but with women, because I'm someone who has been very, very insecure.
Sure.
Like, especially with that last relationship and like just the way I was raised and all that. And so I get it because I've been there, where it's like you see someone who's like beautiful and stunning like you, and then you're also talented, and then it comes in your head, you're like, but wait.
She could take my man.
Exactly.
And I don't want your man. I don't want your man.
She really doesn't.
She wants my strap on.
I do. What? This girl can strap. Let me just. Yeah.
But I understand, like, from that point. And it's also like a preservation thing, I feel like, for women. Because it's like you just want to, like, you know, I mean, especially if you are in a long term relationship with someone, you've like created this home and the space. But the way I see it is kind of like, if your partner is going to leave you because mm-hmm. they think someone else is pretty, what the f*** are you with them?
Right.
Like, because
right.
it's like, I think that other, okay, some other men are attractive, I guess. I mostly see women. I don't know what to tell you, but like, there are so many beautiful people
sure.
out in the world. And if you can't like appreciate the beauty in other people around you, well, it's like, then you're not going to appreciate anything. You're just going to end up like right. bitter about it, which is like a very slippery slope to go down. So it's like, I understand her not wanting to put her name on it, but also right. it's like, what are you so afraid of?
Right.
Because the thing with like, I mean, I guess we make the money that we do, and we have the luxury of like kind of setting our own schedules and doing these things because it is a job that is frowned upon.
Sure.
But if it wasn't, no one would do it. Where, like, do you know what I mean?
I feel like it would be, it's already pretty saturated because I think the stigma is a little bit less over, especially the last like 5 years or so
with OnlyFans.
Yeah, with OnlyFans.
Has changed.
And so it brings more competition into the industry because people are more comfortable doing it. There's always going to be a demand, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good thing we're going that way. I would rather feel like I had to fight harder or be more creative or be more interesting or have like specific fans who wanted to see me.
I think it's already at that point.
You think
because
so?
I've heard a lot from fans about how, like, you know, there are a lot of people who are very, very attractive, and they got into the industry with the pandemic, with all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're not actually performers.
Sure.
This is what I'm going to send you, and it's going to be nudes, and it's bikinis.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to, it's a full sex tape. It's like a trailer. Like, there are so many different things where people are already kind of feeling disillusioned by certain creators. So I think
because
that those creators
fraud?
Just eventually weed yes. themselves out yeah. once they make their money or whatever. But then there are the core people who stay. So I think that we'll always go through periods of like big saturation down. And that's just kind of like the waves yeah. of anything, like economy, just everything in general kind of just goes like this and yeah. will eventually go. But OnlyFans is like in mainstream shows now. Like people talk about, well, maybe I'll just quit and do OnlyFans. Like
right.
it's like become a joke, which essentially it is. Come on, the industry is hilarious. But like, I just think like, as far as what you do, mm-hmm. that should have no bearing. Like if someone's a good singer and they do trash, like they pick up trash delivery, are they any less talented because no. of the job that they do? Or I'm not saying that like picking up trash is a bad thing. I actually heard the story about this guy once. I'm so sorry. I heard the story about this guy once who was like incredibly intelligent, like super high IQ, and they interviewed him because he's like a trash collector, and they were like, what, you could be doing so many things. He's like, I like the truck. Like, I like driving a trash yeah. truck.
That's how I feel when people are like, well, why aren't you a singer? Or why don't you do something else? You seem articulate. You seem educated.
Because
I really enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
I really like it. And you'd be shocked at how many, you know, beautiful, intelligent, like clever women there are doing it. And there are plenty of people who aren't. There's no like barrier for entry except for be comfortable doing sexual things and monetize mm-hmm. it. But yeah. I think what gives you that longevity in this industry especially is authenticity. So not, you know, scamming people and not mm-hmm. being fraudulent and people connecting with you as a person.
Yeah.
So showing them all the parts of myself, which I've always kind of done, and then pushing that into music, mm-hmm. I think will only help me in the future and ideally help Truly. Other sex workers. Because if you say, oh, well, she can do this and this.
Yeah. You can do other things yeah. with the fan base that you've created. You don't have to be beholden to this forever, because it is a thing. And it's not that I don't, like, I think the industry is definitely not for everyone.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people get into it and they realize that later, or they get into it and they just don't care because they just want to make the money. It's like, we've all been in a shoot where it's like, we're all excited to like get down and they're just like, I don't want to be here.
How long is this going to take?
Yeah. I'm like,
one of my favorite stories.
I don't know how long it's taking you to come. Yeah. Karen, Jesus Christ.
Karen. One of my favorite stories of, it was a girl's, like, one of her first shoots. And I think she ended up doing...
Sorry, Lavalam.
Lavalam. I think she ended up going into, like, feature dancing and stripping where she could just mm-hmm. get in, make a lot of money and get out, like, that night.
Yeah.
So some people don't want to be on set for a long time. They don't really care about the end product. But yeah. I remember I was an extra in this scene. It was, like, a cream pie scene. And it was in a doctor's office. And every time that the director during the hardcore pictures, the stills, was like, okay, then we'll do this, you know, this position and this position and just move here and here, every single one in between, she went, ah. I was like, what do you think the job is? Like, you can't just lay there on a doctor's chair and like make money. And
she's
so,
like, no, you move me.
She's like,
and that's the stills before the scene.
That's
right?
Not even the sex. Yeah. That's literally just,
well, we know how the scene's gonna go.
It was fine. She's very sweet, but it was just one of those like, this
could be great.
This part of the industry is not for you. This yeah. doesn't inspire you. This, and it doesn't need to inspire everyone. Yeah. I know most people go to their jobs and just go, okay, mm-hmm. I need to make my rent and go.
Yeah.
But how lucky are we to feel inspired
to
by our jobs?
To also enjoy what we do.
Yeah, to also enjoy what we do.
Because even like mainstream, I really loved doing mainstream when I did it. I just felt like, well, I've learned everything that I want to know from it. I'm not saying I would never do like a mainstream girl again. It's just like, I have so much more freedom to take everything I've learned and do a day like we did, where it's like,
which
let's just
so
do
fun.
Our own content. We just yeah. get to hang out and shoot the shit, because we know that in this day and age, if your job is on the internet, you don't just hang out. You make it work.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's true.
Like, here we are at a podcast.
It's true.
Like, and so to be able to have that, but sometimes you go in and you'll do like a content collab or a trade day with someone. And I'm like, you don't want to be here. Why did we even yeah. like, oh, why did you even agree to this?
Or you
like,
don't know why you're doing it or whatever. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, there's so many different things, and it's not like, oh, I would like, wouldn't work with those people. It just, it makes the days go a lot longer when yeah. it's like, with you and I, for instance, or other people that I really enjoy working with, all of a sudden the day is over.
And you can't believe how much you got done.
You can't believe how much you got done, or that you're like, we've been here for 2 hours or something and it's been like six.
Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. So it's cool. But as far as like being able to take your fan base, because a lot of people too in the content creator scope now have much newer fan bases.
Right.
We're like old guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, I am old now. Yes. Built. It's true. Honestly.
Same. But honestly, we look great. Let's be so for real. Right,
I was like getting ready and I was like, look how many gray hairs I have. It's a thing.
You can't see any.
It's fine.
But to have that fan base last through all that time, because there's a lot of people who have already like fallen out of favor who are like huge names who just shot to the moon, and then it's like, well, everyone's pissed because they didn't actually like fulfill their end of what they said they were gonna do, or they started too much drama with other performers and now people don't want to work with
them. Never happens.
never ever. So like, it's cool to like be able to talk with you and other people like you who are like, well, here I have this fan base, now what else can I do with this? Because as much as I love this, I want something else, I want more. Right. Like, it's not enough, you know.
Or let
I mean?
Me just fulfill this thing that I've always wanted to do.
Because I want
to
see if I can really do it and make it something.
And I needed that just next level of professionalism. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like, it's just been so cool to have that experience and to learn more about like songwriting and how the business works. Because your degree is also in music. You have music business and commercial songwriting.
Correct. Yeah.
So I didn't know anything about that. And I, you know, the one thing my dad said to me when I said I was working with a producer is he's like, I don't want you to get screwed over. Mm-hmm. He's like, I know how, and I know the adult space really well. If anything, I try and mentor the younger girls to not get screwed over, but I'm walking into this blind and I did it very, very carefully. I mean, our contract, he went over with me line by line for like hours.
And explained it in layman's terms.
And explained everything.
But I've always been passionate about that. Like, I was on The Voice at 22.
Okay.
And
nice.
I just like finished my fourth year of college in music business and songwriting. And I spent most of the time, because there's like minors on that show. And so they have to have their parents there the whole time.
Yeah.
I spent most of the time like chilling in the hotel pool where we were like sequestered, teaching the parents about contracts. Mm-hmm. So like, it's just
great, because in contracts with anything are always just like, you're just signing your life
signing
away.
Everything. It's like the AI rights in mainstream contracts now. Like, you're supposed to be looking out for that. But what if I signed? I'm just like, ah, I guess, you know, whatever.
It's tricky, man. That's
And to have a lawyer to go over every single contract ever is just like, whoa, now
it's impossible.
How do we make
on a
any
set.
Money?
Like, on a set, you can't, you know.
On set, for sure. I've actually seen that on a few things. Like, I haven't shot anything recently, but just like working with a few companies, and there is that little clause of like, and then we could use this for AI. I'm like,
or just your digital likeness in perpetuity, like owned by, like, there's those kind of like, and so that's also what I really appreciated, was that when we did contract stuff, it was pretty simple and pretty like, I think you had worked with Warner or something like that, where you were okay, I need to have like a more serious contract, but I don't want it to be so overwhelming.
I did some production for Warner in Nashville. And so like I sent over like a normal, like what I thought was cool, which was like a one sheet. And they're like, the A&R called me and she's like, hey, you need to have like a lawyer draft this, because it doesn't look legit enough. Mm-hmm. Even though everything that you're saying is what we need it in like legalese. And so it turned a one-page thing into a three-page thing, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's still like, it doesn't have an... So in a contract, there's like... I loved contract classes in college. And there's like... They can put like, notwithstanding the foregoing, which means, forget everything I said, I'm about to f*** you. Like here. And if there's any like a therefore, you need to like look back and see what it's there for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, there's little tricks for like... But I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, just have a nerdy friend.
Yeah. Well, you have to have a friend first. So.
I'm right here, Molly. I'm right here.
I know, but usually it's like we come together for these nice little moments and then it's
like
years
by. And I'm just like waving at you from across the internet. Like, you sure look hot in that Instagram post. Hope it doesn't get taken down.
Thank God, that is so the vibe, though. It waving is. At you from across the internet.
Yeah, it really is.
That's how I feel with most people. But it's like, I feel like most of the people that I connect well with, like the best, just the way our brains work and all that. Yeah. We're never around each other because we're always doing something.
Right.
We're always creating something or we're going on some new adventure. Or we have some new side project, or like, even I have friends who have like left the industry and now they're off doing these other whatever adventures that they're doing. So it's like we talk, we come together for these moments, but those are so much more special because all that we do on the in-between time is like, what have you been up to? Let me tell you.
So much. Right.
Like when people ask, what have you been up to? Like normal people, I'm like, I don't know how to explain to you that I've been creating religion. I've been creating a world that doesn't exist. Backlore. I've been like the training, all the different training that you've done, like to change your body. Yep. Like so many people, it's like that whole, what have you been up to? It's like, well, work has been like whatever. I'm like, no.
It's so hard to relate.
Lifetimes have passed between us seeing each other.
And it is one of those things too, like with what we do for a living and us, the kind of conversations we have. Mm-hmm. You know, you forget how they sound to people outside of the industry until you're explaining them. And you're like, oh, I sound insane to you.
Oh, until so you're in an though. Uber ride and you forget that the Uber people listen and you stop talking. You go, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And she says, I need popcorn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know if I told you the Uber story.
Are you talking about the Uber Connect story?
Yeah.
Okay, own Uber thing. You have an
Uber. She has an Uber. It's good. Uber. She told me this like. Yeah. Day one of friendship, and I was like, okay, I like her.
I don't hide anything, clearly. So much butthole. So I was in an Uber to see a friend in New Jersey, and so I was driving from the airport. It was like a longer Uber ride, too. It was like 30 or 40 minutes or something. And so I plugged in my phone into the back of the whatever, the console.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I'm just, you know, scrolling on there, and then my editor sends me an edit of like one of the scenes that I had just done, one of my collabs. You can see where this is going. And he sends me the collab. And so I'm looking at this like trailer edit and I just can't hear it. It's not in my headphones and I'm clicking and turning on, turning up. And I'm not hearing it. And then through my noise cancellation headphones, I hear the faint sounds in this car with this man who has not talked to me yet. I hear my own moaning.
Yeah.
And I go, oh my God, it's connected to the car. And I turn it off. I sit there for like a good 4 seconds. The driver moves over with his finger and just clicks off. And then goes for another 20 minutes. I sat there in dead silence, tweeting about it and also texting my friend who I was on the way. I was like, thank you so much. And I left the thing. To be fair, he probably thought I was just watching not my own, but still.
There's a little plausible deniability that he doesn't know it was yours, but.
It was rough, man. It was one of the more embarrassing things that's ever happened to me. I felt like I was in like a sitcom. It was ridiculous.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I texted you about it too.
I love that story so much.
Oh, so embarrassing.
It's one of my favorites.
But you do get like so used to like, just anything, you're so desensitized to
and
it.
I don't know. Like, I'm not a big like out in public person, so if I do go out, I don't like censor myself like when I talk about things. And if I hang out, it's usually people from or adjacent to the industry. So I'm just like blah blah. So then my butthole, and then this guy showed me his penis, and can you believe that it was only this big? So I told him what I thought of that, and he loved it. And I said it was terrible. I said it would never satisfy. And then you just see someone like looking at you like.
We were at the casino, and we said something as a guy walked by, and I can't remember what it was.
You go, I love.
I just love, but I said it in like musical theater, like I just like starry eyed, and this guy like walked right by, and I was like, that was a thing. But it's Vegas. So
but also, to be fair, we were talking about how much we love attention, so
we were talking about.
No, it works perfectly.
It worked really well.
Also, you're living life without a screen, like a privacy screen, which is wild.
I had one before, but then my selfies weren't as good. Like there was something about it that was like shifting, like behind the camera or whatever.
Oh, on your phone. I was on my phone. Looking for a privacy screen. Privacy. Here, like the jacket.
No, I do. I worry about people. Like I want people to consent to see what I'm doing
or
that. And that is, you know, another one of those things with the music part, right? So what I did when I created the music persona is I wanted to be Sophia across both because I'm not ashamed of what I do for a living. I love that. But I also, and we had a really big discussion about this kind of like halfway through.
We marinated on it for a while.
On should I have the same stage name or should I do a different one? And what does that say about me? How does that affect the business of it?
Yeah. Cost benefit analysis.
Of like, and we decided to have a different last name for my music, which is Sophia Vincent. At least that way, ticket sales down the line.
Hot, by the way,
thank you. I appreciate that. It.
Vincent's always such a good name. I don't know why.
Took a lot of trial and error to find that and to find someone else. There wasn't anybody else with that name. All of
the maybe
things.
Pile was large.
The maybe pile was large. And what was nice about it, we decided kind of overall, was that if someone heard my music on a platform or wanted to see me, they wouldn't be eyeball assaulted by my when they went to Google it. Right. And so I
think, 'cause if you're into it,
great.
But if you're not,
if I'm going to sit here and preach consent how important it is, I'm not going to like put myself out there and force people to see something that maybe they weren't expecting to see.
I
completely agree. It's actually one of the things that I hate about OnlyFans has done so many good things and other platforms like it. True. But one thing that I feel like has changed with it a lot is like shock factor.
Yes.
It's like everyone is performing for their Reddit GIF moment. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, well, this person was looking at me at the gym. I'm like, you're wearing a thong.
Yeah.
In a public gym. Of course they're going to kick you out. Like,
and it's also Planet Fitness. So like, I don't even know why you're surprised.
Honestly, you could probably do a Kegel with one of the rope poles and nobody would notice. Yeah, yeah. Also,
but don't act like a gym bro. They'll kick you out for that.
Yeah, if you grunt too loud, hate me.
Don't know what you're doing with a deadlift, but yeah, please. Yeah.
No,
skip backwards on an elliptical.
I hate Planet Fitness. Shots fired.
I just think it's like, it's like icky because I feel like it's already like kind of aggressive what we do in a way where
sure
it's
is.
Like it's very out there. And of course, people are searching for it. But when people are like, well, you shouldn't be surprised you get censored on social media, I'm like, I'm not really surprised. It's just that I'm surprised what they allow people who don't have an OnlyFans link to post.
Sure. Mm. Yeah, there's
does that affect it? Like, if you don't have an OnlyFans link on your Instagram.
Oh, you can't have an OnlyFans link on your Instagram,
no,
right?
You can't.
You just
you
mean,
can't.
Like, if
but
you do OnlyFans.
If you do OnlyFans.
So they know and kind of flag you?
Well, so from my understanding too, is it used to be a lot more of like just what you were posting, but now certain things like just your name or things that you're tagged in by other people, like it all, whatever the algorithm is, it knows who you are and what you do for the most part. Like, and so I think it's hard that way, but I don't like to post, like, I don't even like to post nudes on X or Twitter. 'Cause I'm like, I know that you can, but I'm still just like, what if someone who didn't want to see it is now seeing like my or my bubble.
That's why I like that people get mad about being shadow banned and having to type in your specific username on Twitter to find you. But I like it because that does mean you can't just stumble across me.
Yeah.
And all of my things are flagged as 18 plus. I'm flagged as 18 plus by myself, self-flagged TikTok,
and
Instagram.
I think it should be. Like,
I think so too.
I don't think like, I think if you're posting anything that is risque, like, okay, sure. Like, you technically can get away with it, but like seeing people like going up and like flashing people like in public, like,
yeah, that
have we learned nothing? Like, you can't just like do things like that because you have tits. Like, it's like, I'm sorry, not everyone wants to see your fucking tits, and maybe the person that you're specifically flashing does, but everyone else behind them, maybe they don't want to. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if you can't actually get a fan base from doing things that aren't just like clickbaity, like, look at me, can you believe
huge
that this happened? And all,
yeah
all it's like, well then, like, what are you actually providing as like,
it's just shock value.
And
it was stuff that like I didn't think about fully because my brain hadn't fully developed, like when I first started and when I was younger. And
pizza delivery shows, we all been there.
I had a dom have me leave a pair of my like panties after I had come in them in an airport or airplane bathroom in like somewhere where someone would find them. In the back of like the seat in front of me. I was on that flight with my family too. And I thought it was the most exciting, like, sexy thing. And I look back and I'm like, you idiot, some poor person had to find your panties. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Right. But that mindset when you're younger,
you're like stupid.
You're just so selfish. And like, oh, I think it's so hot that I'm out in like a collar and cuffs with my 40-year-old boyfriend, like at Denny's, story. It was at Denny's.
Wait.
Okay.
I thought I was so hot. Oh yeah. Are we rewinding on that one?
Yeah, we gotta go back.
I am way too comfortable with these two people in this room right now.
We've all had some weird Denny's moments. Let's be so for real right now.
I mean, mine were mostly Waffle House, but I respect Denny's.
Yeah.
Waffle House hits. Are there?
Thank you.
Waffle House?
I don't know if I've ever been to a Waffle House.
I've not taken you to Waffle House.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot. I thought we were friends.
Well, the Waffle House behind my studio or near my studio in Nashville is the only one I know that's not actually open 24 hours because it's in such a shady area. They only do like takeout after 11, which is wild.
Well, a takeout waffle.
It's like to go.
Kind of sounds great.
I used to get like.
It's banging.
Big waffle, and then you can get like butterscotch chips on the top of
Ooh.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. No.
It's just like, so how do you want to clog your arteries?
She looks like this, but eats like a garbage puppy. So
I am
she
a garbage
would
puppy.
Love it.
Yes. High five. Yes. Thank you.
I'm over here like, you know, whenever we're like working together and like, whether it's Airbnb or I'm crashing at her place or whatever, I'm like cooking like really nice meals.
It's so great.
Like, what about donuts?
Oh, I have a whole candy section in both of my places.
To compromise, I made from scratch cookies, so I knew there was no garbage in it.
That's actually what
See?
I do.
Yeah.
See, that's what I've started doing is learning. Like, I've been making recipes that are actually healthy or like healthier options and all that kind of stuff. But like, I figured out like you can cook with like pumpkin to like negate like eggs and all this other stuff, or like date paste can replace like brown sugar. Like, there's so many different things that you can
do. I didn't
do
any of that in the cookies. Those are real.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, no. Good, because I'm about to be on my period.
I just know there's no preservatives or anything. Oh, no, it's like Ghirardelli too. That way it's still gooey.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
It's really, really good. The mouthfeel, thick.
I love it.
It's nice and thick.
I love baking
Viscous.
So much. Oh, my God. You know what we should do eventually sometime is just do like a junk food mukbang
OFTV
or something.
What is a mukbang?
Where you basically just eat a bunch of food.
With lots of like food noises of eating food.
Oh, like
smacking,
ASMR
crunchy kind of stuff.
It's like you just have like a ton of food.
You're describing like an on-tour green room hang. That's literally.
Is it like feeder fetish stuff? What is it? What's the appeal?
I don't really know because it's not,
I mean,
it's not necessarily like just like a BBW or whatever
situation.
Just like eating all the big variety of food and having the spread, and I guess just the different ways
I would
that
do
it
a candy
from
run.
Different places.
I don't know. I think it just kind of depends.
We call that a bang bang on tour. Is when you get takeout from two different places and bring it together.
A gang bang.
Well, a bang bang. No, gang bang. That's your
that's
world.
That's more orgy than gang bang,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, that's true.
If we're gonna, like, yeah, it's,
you're like, excuse
it's,
me.
It's been funny. Like, I think you asked the other day, like, what is BBW? I was like, big beautiful woman. Like, it's all of these.
Know.
All of these terms.
Should we test him on
small penis humiliation?
Okay, let's test him. Let's test him on terms. Okay,
all right. David, let's
jerk off instruction.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Let's do a little game show. Burn it out! There you go. All right. CEI.
Yes.
What is CEI? You've never taught me this one.
Haha. Guess. Let's guess. It's more fun.
CEI. Okay. Come.
So far, so good.
You're doing great.
Something insertion. Come. No. CEI. Okay. So there's come after. There's...
What does the I stand for in JOI?
Instructional.
So,
come,
CEI.
Come. Extraction? Instructional? That seems too medical.
Too many extractions.
What could you do with come?
What do you do in a mukbang?
Eat? Oh, come eating.
Instruction.
Okay,
cool. There's more.
That's fun.
I don't know about
here.
Acronym necessarily, but do you know what sounding is?
Sounding. No.
You know what sounding is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's putting something in your urethra. And so, like, usually there's, like, metal sounding. So it's like a
pee metal. Right now, and this is just so uncomfortable.
It's like a metal tube.
Y'all save your notes. I'm going to pee because it's going to make me laugh.
Well, actually, we made him leave.
Honey, what does it make you think of? Sweet, delicious, sticky. Licking it off your partner? If you want to have fun with a special friend or are someone who loves self-pleasure, Honey Playbox has the toys for you. Use our code TWND to save 15% on your purchase. Amp up your playtime at honeyplaybox.com. You deserve pleasure, so elevate your experience with Honey Playbox and support our show by using code TWND at checkout. Watching podcasts is fun. Watching reruns, also fun. But nothing beats a live experience. Check out our friends at Jerkmate by going to jkmte.com/TWND. Every sign up helps our show. Don't jerk alone. Get your front row seat to live events. Try a gold show from the comfort of your couch. Check the show description or go to jkmte.com/TWND to try it out.
He's like, come eating instructions sounding.
I'm out.
I'm gonna give peace.
he says this, but like every single story I have about the industry, he's like, oh, that person's this person, right? Okay, yeah. And then, but he like doesn't really watch. So he like doesn't know the people, but so but now knows them all through me, which is very fun.
That's
so
awesome.
He already knew about your strap game before we even came over here.
Well, thank you.
Your reputation precedes you.
So does my cock.
So does my cock. Did you see where I did the Minotaur scene?
I saw photos.
Yes.
I saw, I keep seeing you in the wildest cosplay, and I'm like, this is awesome.
Because I'm not, so unlike you, like you're like super creative. You want to create these worlds. You want to like, to be the one to build it all out. I want to be the person. You be God, and I will be the peon. I just want to, and you can pee on me. Wow, that worked on so many levels.
All right, so Golden Show.
Super, yeah, that's a good one.
Squirting.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I have to like think of new ones while he's gone.
I'm trying to think.
But I like to be put into something that's already set, right? Mm-hmm. Like the logistics already figured out, the cosplay is already bought, yes. Everything is already done, and I will perform. Like put me in front of a camera. But the Minotaur was like the set was already built, the labyrinth was already built.
Yeah.
You know, the Ava, Mira, and Lana Smalls were like the damsels in distress, and so I had cool. A giant veiny monster cock that shot. Like I think they went through 3 liters of fake cum. Like the girls were drowning in it.
Liters?
Liters of cum.
That's
it may
so
have
many...
been buckets.
Real stuff, fake stuff?
Fake.
Okay.
Oh, real stuff. How long would that take
Dude,
to create? I mean, I was in Madrid, to be fair.
I once did a custom for this guy, and he just wanted to look like I was covered in cum. So he sent bottle after bottle after bottle of his favorite fake cum.
Sure.
And it was just...
Oh, there's brands?
My,
oh, yeah. There's like brands.
Jizz. Mm-hmm. There's one that's called jizz.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just brand like my hair was plastered down, just like... dripping. I did it outside because I was like,
of course.
So much. And then some got in my mouth and I was like, oh, it's worse than real cum.
Okay,
so okay,
so CBT.
CBT?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is so much more pleasant when I don't have to pee. Thank you. Also, great hand soap.
Oh.
Excellent choice. Peck sniffs or pick sniffs, whatever. Yeah, that's nice. CBT.
Not cognitive behavioral therapy.
No.
Oh,
something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Cum?
Nope.
Mm-mm. No. CBT. Clit?
No. Nope.
Cuck.
Yep.
Okay.
Close. Yep. Did you say cuck or cock?
Cock.
Cuck.
Oh.
Cock. Is cock?
Yes.
Okay.
Cock. I thought he said cuck.
I know. I caught the.
I just went to all the Instagram memes of the cuck chairs and they're like.
Yeah.
Dude, it was so funny. Like, that the cuck chair, like, came into, like, the memeverse. I'm like, do people not know about the cuck chair?
I thought it was common knowledge. But...
I thought it was a joke.
Because, like, every
I
single
argued
room.
With my favorite drummer. Like, I was on tour with him, and we argued about the he was always like, yeah, it's a cuck chair. And I was like, no, it's...
Yeah, anyway. Like, what else? It's the only chair that doesn't match any of the other
okay, he's one
and
of my
it faces the bed?
He's one of my two favorite drummers. I can't say favorite.
Yeah, you better be careful. This is not going to be out there.
It's okay. Yeah. Randy and John,
I was
going
to say, it was Yeah, Randy knows cuck chairs. Okay, so the first... I'm so sorry, Randy. I don't actually know. I just meant...
Shout out Randy. Randy is very familiar
Randy
with the cuck chair.
Perhaps the best drummer alive. Randy Cook.
Okay.
Oh my God, he's amazing.
And so, he loves.
He's probably
that's
already
what I'm saying.
This.
Like, I know that he loves like. So like, that's the only reason I was like, sorry, Randy. I haven't met you yet.
Randy would right, be. Randy. He would not be in the chair. Is what she's.
He
trying
might know
to say.
What CBT is.
Randy's
so
like someone else sits
cock.
Alive.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Honestly.
I mean.
They do any drums? That's for damn sure. God, best drummer of my life. Cock.
CBT.
So much pressure.
Okay, here, I'll help.
Help. Okay, give me a hint.
Derek Cage is really into it.
Balls?
There we go.
Okay. Derek loves balls.
He's big also ball into guy. This.
Cock
so,
ball.
I'm going to give you a hint because acronyms can be a little tricky because okay. Just like with the title, the is not capitalized. And yeah. In this acronym, and.
Oh, is this the Cage thing?
So,
chastity, no.
Okay.
Cock and balls.
Cock and balls. Is it like a hitting? Is it like a violent thing?
Yeah, it's violent.
Cock and ball. Okay, what do you have? You have.
It's broad.
Broad. Okay.
It's not a specific thing.
All right, I'm going to phone a friend.
It's cock ball torture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to go there. I was going to go more specific. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Derek's kinky boy.
Yeah, he is. I actually did it to him in the Divine Bitches scene. He had a humbler, which is a device that you put on your balls, but on the backside of your legs to keep them on the backside.
Ooh.
So that you can hit it from behind while you're in doggy.
That's hot.
That's a very Casino Royale moment.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I heard that. That movie where you did tell me about that.
Through the chair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you then know what I'm talking about? You would know. You see
Daniel Craig. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cockball torture.
Interesting.
Okay, give another
one.
He
didn't get
fun.
Turned on in the movie.
Yeah, no, Derek does. No. He makes crazy noises.
He's making great paella this week, too.
That's true. We're having paella.
I'm making him a cake.
Nice.
French yogurt cake.
We love you, Derek.
Oh, yeah. She's like, yeah.
Cake, I'm in.
And we're smacking his balls. No, we're not. He would love that. From music producer to ball smacker. Welcome, Jonathan Windham, to the podcast. Can we clip that one?
Can we isolate that audio, please? Yeah.
You're going to do great in Nashville after this. They're going to love
excited.
You.
Yeah, God,
they're
going to love LA. You.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Is there...
DVP.
Double vaginal penetration.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. I knew that one.
Mm-hmm. DP?
All right. That's the butt in the vag.
Yeah. Double penetration.
Yeah.
What else is there? I'm trying to think.
I mean, the GGG is like the girl.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Golden shower.
Golden. With pee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is squirt real?
60% of the time it works every time.
That's perfect. For a long time on the overpass here in Vegas, there was...
Can't wait to hear how this is related.
Someone had spray painted "all squirt is pee," and it was up there
so funny.
For so long, like so much longer than it should have been. I was like, thank God someone is saying what nobody else wants to say.
Anecdotally, I used to have. Did you?
This is one of the first questions I asked her because I was like, all right, let's just get down to it. Like,
oh, it's true. That's just, but there is a little pee in all of squirt.
Because
squirt
it's from
is its own thing.
Yeah, I think it's its own thing. Because I used to have. I don't know if you ever had the Enjoy toy. It's like a metal curved toy with a big ball on the end and a smaller ball on the other end.
I've had a lot of weird toys, probably. To
probably,
be honest.
But it was great because you'd put it in, you'd insert it, and then you'd pull out away from your body, and so it would hit your G spot, and you could just kind of
like
go
a weird fish, like whoa.
Yeah, you're just like bang, 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 and you'd squirt. Like it would just make
so
you do
any
it.
Fish. That's what fish do. Out of water, they just well. But she was like weird fish. I was like, shots fired on the carp. Sorry. Anyway,
I'm so lost.
She said the body motion would be like a weird fish.
Oh, yeah. Like, Yeah, that's true. Oh, it is like, I get it now. Okay. Wow. It does get really wet. So there is that.
Hopefully doesn't smell like fish.
Hopefully doesn't smell like fish, ideally.
That could be a symbol of a problem.
Oh, you got to be careful with stuff. Sorry, continue. Yeah, I just had a really bad flashback.
To working with people?
PTSD.
No, just something my ex did to me.
Oh God, sweet thing. So I would do this
pussy traumatic stress disorder.
Pussy traumatic stress. I like that. Yeah, sex disorder. So you do the motion and it would just make you squirt. It was like a magic trick. It was like pressing a button.
I had the same thing with the butterfly vibrator back in the day. Did you ever see one of those? It had like the little hook and the little butterfly wings on the clit. And that
I
was
had
the first time I ever
an
squirted.
Outside like an exterior butterfly vibrator that like strapped on like panties and didn't do. Like I had that as
I can't connect to this conversation at all.
You've never had a butterfly vibrator?
Dudes just have lotion. We have favorite brands.
Yeah. But I would squirt all over this like cloth chair and it was like something I did on cam and I would like lick it off the chair, you know, as one does. And but
gotta
over,
taste yourself.
Yeah, thank you. But it didn't taste like pee. Not that I had tasted pee at that point in my life.
So it could have tasted like pee.
It could have, but now
whoa, punch holes. Damn. Wow. Like, I know fight, enough to fight. Punch holes in this story. Keep going.
So I would like lick it, but then I would still use the chair and it never ever like smelled like pee.
Yeah.
Which for how much squirt was on that chair? It was like rings on a tree of like all the
girls. No, I completely understand because like there was other girls who would squirt and it was the same thing. Like people would be like, oh, they're just peeing. I'm like, literally she just squirted all over my face. Like it's not pee. Like it doesn't smell like pee. It's
but
not
then
like
there
whatever.
Are other times where it's just like I think they are like I've been in scenes where I'm just like, there's so much and it keeps being so much. At some point it's just
you kind of just have to realize that if you show up on set and someone already has like four of these empty bottles sitting beside their makeup chair, they're going to be peeing on you.
Basically.
So,
yeah. If it's clear.
I didn't know that when I first went into one of those scenes and I got peed on.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pee.
R. Kelly would have loved it.
It was so clear. It was.
So as long as it's clear. I mean, yeah. GGG, girl, also German goo girls. Which
right,
is,
not to be confused. One of your bucket
list
things
that like
you
completely
worked with.
Covered
my
income?
Favorite. No, that was premium bukkake, but you swallow it. And then the last 10 were to the face.
Wait, the goo. Sorry.
What? So German goo girl.
Okay.
Something different.
I need to know. I don't know.
German goo girls is a site that's been around forever, like since before I was even in.
Okay.
Which was like 15, 16 years ago now. And so I used to watch it, and it's like a bunch of German men in ski masks. And it's like a bukkake piss gangbang, right? Mm-hmm. So it is like, but a lot of it's like swallowing the cum, not necessarily being covered in it. And then like a lot of pee play. So mm-hmm. I found out a couple of years ago that they were still in production. So I messaged them. I was in the gym and I messaged them and sent an email and sent a tweet saying I'd love to work for you. And so they said, if you can be in Berlin in 2 weeks, we'll shoot you. Mm-hmm. So now I've done GGG that. I've done like 5 scenes for them. I love them.
Awesome.
But Premium Bukkake is in Madrid. And that's the one where it's like 80 plus men at a time. And they have fluffers, which are the only site I've ever been on that has had fluffers. But it was like 9 Colombian women. They were really sweet. They had their own fluffer room, like a green
room. They also make empanadas, and it's great.
Oh, that's so good.
Empanadas.
I made that part up, but probably.
Dude, after you get cummed on that many times, I feel like you need an empanada.
Well, it was swallowing. I didn't realize how much swallowing it was. They give you like 4 different medications for your tummy. Because it's so much. It was like 122 loads total.
Oh, no thanks.
I wasn't sure how I'd feel, but like once I was in it, I was like, okay, this is cool. So
different strokes for different folks. Loads for different hoes. So it's
nice.
That didn't rhyme. Yeah. Damn it.
So I also understand, to bring it back full circle, I understand why people are like, oh, her voice is nice and lovely. And also, I don't necessarily...
all of that deep throating and semen.
And I can see why they maybe wouldn't want to see the other side if they're just like, what a pretty song. They don't necessarily need to see this other side of me.
Yes, exactly.
I contain multitudes.
Yes, we are.
You're a multifaceted human.
I think so. Yeah.
I think you are for sure. And I think that so many more people in the industry are than people realize.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's just like in any job where it's like, of course, you have people who are just showing up and clocking in. But there are a lot of people in this industry that... people would be surprised to find out how much interest they have in other things that have nothing to do with genitals.
I think most of us do. And I think it would be weird for us to say, oh, you work at an insurance company. All you are is an insurance person.
Yes.
But it's this reverse for us where it's like, why do you only see me as my job? Because it's a job you would never do or you can't fathom anyone in your family doing.
Well,
defines us.
It's like when someone finds out what you do or if you post something that's a little bit sultry on social media and they're like, oh, You have no self-respect. I'm like, no. You don't respect me, which is totally valid. You don't have to respect me.
Sure.
I respect myself.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, but you don't know how I feel about myself. You see this and you're like, oh, I don't respect you. So I'm going to put that on you instead of just owning myself. Yeah. If you don't respect me, that's fine. You don't have to respect what I do. You don't have to like what I do. But you can't tell me how I feel about myself.
Exactly. And I also... I feel like when I sniff out that someone sees me just as this or as a trophy to try and capture or just someone to hit on, or they don't, especially with the music stuff, like I'll have music people DM me and I respect their music or they've done a good job with it, but then they immediately go into like trying to hit on me or kind of go that creepy route. I feel completely not respected for that music thing. And
that happens to you a lot.
It happens to me a lot. And he's seen the DMs and he was such an outlier of like, before we met, it was like 7 months before we met in person and not one DM was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Like nothing was disrespectful. If anything, I could kind of vent about all the entitled people in my DMs to him. And he was like, that's crazy.
Well,
and so it built trust.
I've played for like, I've toured in music for like 15 years. So like I played for some absolutely stunning women and like, I understand like people sliding in the DMs and just being like, you miss all the shots you can't take. And it's like, bro, you're in the nosebleeds of the stands. It's not your shot to take. Like, you bought a ticket. Like, security seeing you out.
You don't even have a scope.
Yeah. You're not allowed to be on the court.
Yeah,
like, you're
hills away with binoculars.
Yeah. Like, so it's like, and also, I don't know, man. It's like, you sending thirst traps on Instagram is promoting your content.
To 300 something thousand people.
Right.
It's not to you, buddy.
And, and it's also like...
specifically.
If I could stop you from seeing it, I would just block me. I don't know what to tell you.
Really?
Like, it's not... it's not an invitation for you to be like, oh, I want you in my... Like, you're promoting your thing.
And I want them to be turned on, and I want them
but
to go to my service.
For that. That's what I'm saying.
You want them to be turned on enough to incentivize them to use your product.
Mm-hmm.
Not to dehumanize you and objectify you when like they're like, oh, let's make music together, or come see me play, or whatever.
I've had that. Yeah.
That happens to you all the time, and it's like,
But it's so hard to weed out the like, okay, do you actually like my singing? Do you actually respect me for this side of me, or are you just trying to get in my pants?
Mm-hmm. And are you gonna make it really uncomfortable if we meet in person? Mm-hmm. Which is so important, like, because if you're making music together, like, like, in the music industry, unrealized sex appeal is the X factor. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have to keep your pants on to make it in the music industry, in, like, as a dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
Like, as a dude. Like, that's the whole gig. To make it in the music industry, you have to be able to, like, keep your pants on.
And one thing about me, if I show up somewhere and you make it weird, I guarantee I'm about to make it weirder. I'm about to make it so much more uncomfortable. So
I love that about you. That makes me so happy. Yeah.
I'm about to turn it up.
I wanted to see
so
that.
So also, I've had you for like an hour. I know that you guys probably have other stuff to do, but like, can you let them know where to follow you? And like, I know that the little link will be in the description.
Appreciate
and stuff
that.
For posting for the word Kickstarter.
Yes.
But,
yeah, that.
But also where else they can follow you, like where they could find the music, all that kind of stuff for you.
Sure. Yeah. You can find any of it if you just Google Sophia Vincent, or if you look up Sophia Vincent, which it's spelled normally V-I-N-C-E-N-T for the last name. And then I'm Sophia Vincent Music, I think on Instagram and X, and then on TikTok as well. And we are actually doing a live TikTok and he's accompanying me and we're singing.
That'll be on your Sophia Lock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one's bigger. That's the bigger account. I've definitely been funneling people from Sophia Luck to this, but I'm waiting to funnel. I don't want to funnel the other direction. So that will be on Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific. Oh, this probably won't be out.
It might not be out, but if so, just stay tuned, because I'm sure you'll be doing other lives and other stuff. So make sure that you guys just follow Sophia so that you can find everywhere that you can consume Vincent or Locke. So this,
depending on what you're in the mood for that day, you can have one.
There's
or the
something
other.
For consumption.
Los dos.
Yeah. ¿Por qué no?
I don't have any CEI on there though. Sorry, no coming in instruction.
I had to remember that one's not sticking in yet.
Shit. And do you want to plug your
sure?
Yeah, as well?
It's Jonathan Windham. I have my own solo music out, and then Instagram just is my name. There's no like tricky monikers or anything like
perfect.
That.
Good. I have a different username for every single platform.
Yeah, we've been kicked off of so many things. We have to get creative. Yeah.
It's so wild. So make sure that y'all check the description. Your homework that I'm giving you for this week is to check out Sophia Vincent. We give them homework every single week. It's me. I give you homework. So go check out Sophia's music because it's truly amazing. It's stunning. She's wonderful. Thank you once again for joining. Please go support her Kickstarter. And if you're not going to do that, at least go support her OnlyFans. Because come on. Come on a photo of her. Come on a photo of me. Come on a photo of us together. I don't know.
Maybe not of Jonathan.
I mean, if you want. <Just
kidding. laughs> Who am I to stand in the way
of a dream?
Oh my God. Okay. This has been the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast, and we will see you next time. Do you know what CUNT stands for?
See you next Tuesday.
Well, cunt.
I get paid to take my clothes off, but here I bear it all for free. Welcome to the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast, where sex work meets self-work, and we laugh through the chaos one inappropriate joke at a time. I talk safe sex, mental health, industry secrets, and all the stories that made my Take a moment, brush it off, let it go. Hey!